Psalm 85. Psalm 85. There's 13 verses in this 85th Psalm, and I want to read these 13 verses if you'll follow along with me, please. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. I'd like this morning to preach on the subject of revival. Revival. There's a misunderstanding, I believe, as to what revival is. Revival, and when the psalmist said here, wilt thou not revive us again? And you'll notice in the context he said, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival is among God's people. People that are not saved by the grace of God do not need to be revived. They need to be saved. But it is the lot that falls to God's people that they need to be revived. I don't care if you've just gotten off of a mountaintop experience. There is some phase of your life that needs revival. That's true with every one of us. It may be your prayer life. It may be the reading of God's Word. It may be your compassion toward your neighbor or toward someone in your family. There is never a time that God's people do not need revival. We need revival at all times. Now, I think there's certain signs and things that come that will show us our need of revival. Some of us, Friday night, was down at Faith Baptist Church at Clarksville, and Brother Kissel preached a message down there, and it was real interesting because he preached from the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to just notice, I'm not going to preach this message, but I want you to just notice some verses of scripture here that he used in the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And he used several thoughts from the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter. And this had to deal or to do with revival. He read the thing that really struck me. He read the first three verses of the 9th chapter of Nehemiah. Now, I want you to notice this closely. Now, notice what it says here in these first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confess their sins. Now look at this. And the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, did that sort of hit you hard? When he, and it did me when he read this. I sat there, and Brother Kessel preached from the 9th chapter to the 10th chapter, and I sat there and outlined a message that I'm not going to preach it this morning, but I'm just going to give you the skeleton outline. First of all, and when he read there in the 9th chapter, 10th chapter, first of all, what I got from that message was concern for revival. Concern. Brethren, there's got to be some concern. People have to be concerned. But then not only did I get out of that concern for revival, but I got out of it conditions for revival. There are some conditions that God's people have to meet in order for there to be revival. And then the third thing I got from that was coming of revival. When there's concern and when you meet those conditions, then there is the coming of revival in your heart and in your life. He preached a good message and I really enjoyed it. And anytime a man's preaching, I'm sitting there myself outlining a sermon of my own to preach sometime down the road. But anyway, that was really a blessing to me. And I got to thinking about this. And the psalmist said here in this 85th chapter or division of Psalms, and the cry was this, "Wilt thou not revive us?" And he says, "Again." Now I want you to see, he says, "Again." Revival just doesn't come one time. But revival comes and it keeps on coming. Now, when we get through, we say that we're going to have a revival meeting. Well, we're going to have a meeting. We don't know whether it's going to be a revival or not, but we're going to have a meeting. And we pray that it'll turn into a revival. That there will be a revival among God's people. There's a question that always comes in my mind. And I have to ask myself this, but I'll ask it collectively like this. You that are saved here this morning, do you want revival? Now, don't answer real quick. Do you want revival? Immediately, as just a form, and what we would usually say, well, yes. Why, you know, certainly, Brother Harvey, you know certainly that I would want a revival to come. Now, I believe that that's a good question to ask. Excuse me. God's people have always felt a need for revival. Now, whether you want one or not, you feel a need for one. And there is a feeling that you have. Now, I realize that there's been great revivals in the past, but you can't live on the past. Now, it's good to rehearse what God's done for you. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever, to rehearse what God has done for you. But see, you need reviving today. I need to be revived now. Can't you go back in your mind and think of some of the great revivals that God has sent us? Can't you go back and think of the times that God has stirred us as a church and really revived us as a church? I can. Now, really, as far as revival, there are few revivals today, but what we got to remember is it is possible. Some would have us to maybe believe it is impossible to have a revival. But it's possible to have a revival. we're experiencing and I'm seeing today modern revivals. Now, why don't revivals come? I believe that there has to be a right time. You know, I find myself, and I want you to examine yourself this morning. We are today, what we're doing wrong is we're planning our church services around all of our other activities. That's what we're doing. We're planning when we are going to do have special services and things. Well, I've got this to do this, and I've got this marked on my calendar here, and I've got this marked on my calendar here, and marked on my calendar here. You can't have it this time. You can't have it that time because, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Is that revival? It's almost like, well, now, Lord, we're going to schedule you and give you a certain time. That's almost what it's become. You mark your calendar. You look at your calendar. And I can remember, and I think back, it is still possible today to have revival. But God's people are going to have to be willing to do it at God's time and to not let anything else interfere with it. I remember, well, Bejo and I were talking about, in years gone by, some of the revivals that we had. We was talking about where that we had morning services and night services. Now, people say, you can't do that, I'm too busy. You know what the farmers did then? They hitched their horses, took out of the fields, came at 10 o'clock for 10 o'clock morning services. And did you know that during those times we even saw some adult men saved in those morning services? She was asking me, do you remember when Ralph Long was saved? Said they were working outside building a chimney on the church, and they told Brother Bratcher, they said, now, when you get ready for services, just tell us and we'll come in. We'll just quit and we'll come in. And having the service, and they just dropped their, they just quit, came in, you know, with their old work clothes on, everything set down, and had preaching just like you would at night. And one of those adult men, the Lord saved him by his marvelous grace. And I tell you, we would go sometimes, and I know you'll never bring those times back because people will not allow it. People will not permit it. Did you know that I noticed that almost every night of the week you all are tied up doing something? I mean, as an average family today, that we have become so busy, and we would go sometimes like 2 weeks, cottage, 2 weeks vacation Bible school. Follow that with 2 weeks cottage prayer meeting. And then we'd follow that with 2 weeks revival meeting. We'd go 6 weeks. And what would happen is 1 week the preacher would preach to the church. That whole week he'd preach to nobody but the church. And the second week he'd preach to nobody but the unsaved. That second week. Now I'm going to tell you, we had revival. But God's people gave themselves. They gave themselves. And so what I said when I asked the question, do you want revival? Don't answer too quick because you may have to reschedule your calendar. And you may have to not go someplace that you've already got marked down you're going to go. People today will not give up the worldly things for the Lord's house. Brother, that's why we don't have revival. That's why there's not revival in our hearts, and that's why that we're not stirred. Now, why don't we have revival today? Is because people don't do what they ought to do that the Bible says. Now here's an Old Testament scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and it's one that you'll never wear out. I mean, you keep using it and using it and using it, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and this has to do with the children of Israel, but the principle is just as true for us as it was with the children of Israel, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and there in verse 14. Now, and I know in the context it's to Israel, but I'm going to make an application, a spiritual application to us. Now, here's what it says. Now, you remember who the psalmist said in Psalm 85? You remember who he said in that Psalm 85? He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Look at 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, you can't get the world revived. It's the people of God that needs to be revived. And if there's any change comes, it's when God's people are revived. If my people, which are called by my name, and here's the hardest thing to do first of all, shall humble themselves. We're all filled with the natural pride. It is so hard for us as individuals to humble ourselves to one another, let alone to God. Shall humble themselves, and notice, and pray. Probably the biggest shortcoming in all of our lives many times is praying. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Pray about all things. And pray, and notice, and seek my face. And then here's something else that he tells that his people should do. Turn from their wicked ways. Did you know that God's people can live wicked lives? I want to think, and I know that we have people in our church that love the Lord, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you loving the Lord and putting the Lord first. And I know, and it doesn't matter whether I appreciate you or not, but I do, but it's the Lord. Putting it and putting forth an effort to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. And he goes on and says in this, and he says, if these conditions are met, and I realize it was for Israel and what he was going to do for their land and what he was going to do for them, but I realize the same thing is true with God's people today. If we'll meet these conditions, God will do the same thing. He said, then, now look at the first thing, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, you mean God doesn't hear everything? Certainly, God knows. God's an omniscient God. He's an all-wise, all-knowing God. But there's sometimes he just don't receive you like that he does at other times. There are sometimes he don't hear your praying like he does at other times. Oh, he knows what you're saying. He knows where you are. But what about your wickedness? What about your lack of humility? What about your lack of prayer? What about turning from your wicked ways? He said, then will I hear from heaven, and notice this, and will forgive their sin. And then he says, and will heal their land. Now, modern revivals today, the problem with them is they don't last. A God-sent revival is a life-changing revival. It changes our lives. It turns us around from the wrong way to the right way. Listen to the psalmist in the 118th Psalm. If you'll notice with me there, in Psalm number 118, and in verse 1,
through verse 4. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I believe that what we find is when a revival of sent by God comes, it changes our life. And we recognize that our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize the giver of that life is God. And we recognize the mercy of God and of his blessings. And so I realize that there are many things. I believe that a true revival will restore fellowship. A true revival will refresh the faithful. A true revival will redeem the fallen. So many times among our number, in our families, do we have those that have fallen by the wayside. I thought about this verse of Scripture when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia. And he said this in this sixth chapter in verse 1 through 3. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now, the truth of the matter of the question that I ask is, we don't all want to see revival. We would like for there to be a revival, but we don't all want revival. Very few today want revival. The reasons are numerous, and they have to do with the character and the requirements of revival. What is a revival, and what will it require of me? First thing it'll require of you is your time. And you know, people just don't have that much time for revival anymore. Now, there's some things that I want to bring out this morning. God being my helper, the Holy Spirit being a teacher. The first thing that I want us to think about is that revival is completely of God. It's not man-made. Now, here's what we do. We come together as a church. We sing our hymns. The Lord blesses us. We have special singing, special music. And that's good. That's always a blessing. To me, it's a spiritual uplifting. To me, it is a time of spiritual refreshing. And many times when the songs are sung, it causes me in my heart to rejoice because of its singing of God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy and of God's love. But a revival is completely from God. It is not man-made. It is not produced by man, it is not organized by man, or it's not controlled by man. But you know, now that hurts us. Because we have come to the place that we can pretty well, many times, feel like that we can control many circumstances. But it is completely and absolutely of God. That is a revival. We have become so used to running things. We feel downright insecure at the very thought of anything that we cannot organize, we cannot control, or we cannot produce. But I tell you, if there's a revival, revival is going to have to come from God. But not only is revival absolutely of God, but revival is revealing. When revival comes, what it does, it takes the lid off of sin. Have you ever thought about spending a fourth part of the day reading the Bible. I mean, these people assembled and gathered together in Nehemiah's time, and they spent a fourth time of the day reading the Word of God. I realize that an hour or 2 hours about kills us. Probably some of the best meetings I've ever been in was in Grenada, Mississippi. And this hadn't been all that long ago. It was back in the late 70s. And they just had this custom of doing this. They would set a time that they felt like they wanted to have a revival meeting, and everybody would take their vacation in the church. And they wouldn't do nothing that week but just come to church and fellowship. Now, I'm not going to ask you what your first thoughts was when I said that. God knows your thoughts. He knows exactly what you thought when I said that. We may say, well, I'm not going to take my vacation to no cold, no revival meeting. God knows that. And you know, and that answers whether or not we want revival. And I was impressed. And I preached of the morning, and I preached at night. I did that for 2 years in a row. And it was a tremendous blessing. And it wasn't that we saw that many of what modern day revival is called. It wasn't that we saw that many moves, but we saw revival. We saw revival in the church and among God's people. And they really rejoiced. But what we understand is revival is from God, but revival is also revealing, and it takes the lid off of sin. There is so much that we don't want revealed. And we say, well, now I'm going to tell you something, but I'd rather you wouldn't tell nobody else about this. Majority of us are living our lives just like that. What is there in your life that you don't want somebody else to know? That you don't reveal. You say, well, it's none of their business. I tell you what, it's God's business. And we ought to start living our lives for God and for one another. There is so much that we don't want revealed, so much sin and darkness in us. We don't want others to know about it. And we want to keep it hidden. But when revival comes, revival is revealing. And it reveals sin, and sin is brought out. And you know, I thought, a fourth of a day reading the Bible. And you know what they spent the other fourth of the day doing? Confessing. How long would it take you to confess your sins? Well, Father, forgive me of my sins. That's it. You haven't done a thing. You haven't confessed nothing. You haven't confessed anything. Lord, forgive me of this evil thought I just had. Forgive me, Lord, of speaking harsh to my neighbor. Forgive me, Lord, for not being compassionate. Forgive me, Lord, for having done this that we know that is not right according to God's word. I mean, they spent a fourth of a day. I tell you, I probably couldn't get done the fourth of a day. I mean, I'm saying that. And not only of their sins, but the iniquities of their fathers. And they spent a fourth of the day reading the Word of God, and a fourth of the day confessing their sins and worshiping the Lord. But we know that what happens is, the third thing that I want us to think about, revival demands some things. And the first thing that revival demands is repentance. To repent of our sins. You know, sometimes people come in and we talk, and I'm always glad to help people, you know, and to talk with them.
And here's what I always tell them if there's things in the right. I said, now what you need to do first of all is repent of your sins. Now they said, that sure ain't much counseling. That's where all the counseling begins. You know what I tell everybody that comes to me basically for counsel? I tell them, go practice 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I need to do, and that's what you need to do. And that's what revival includes. It includes repentance, and it includes confession, and it includes restitution. And you know, and I say, name it. If you've committed fornication, Lord, forgive me the sin of fornication. I mean, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. And he requires, or he expects us to confess and to name, but it not only requires repentance and confession and restitution, but it also requires forsaking sin. Turning from it. I believe revival demands not only repentance and confession, but I believe being earnest. You know it's time consuming? Soul rending, it means selflessness. Emptying oneself of self. Well, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. It is also God honoring. It is that prevailing prayer. And too few of us today know anything about this kind of praying. Mostly we verbalize our list of prayer wants to God, and in short, we ask amiss that we might consume it on our own lusts. And so I realize and I know that revival really demands something. And that's why today that we do not want revival, we are not willing to meet these demands that God sets down in the Word of God. I believe that revival demands the prior preparation of humility of mind and spirit. It demands being earnest. I believe having an insatiable hunger for the Word of God and for God Himself. I realize that I must hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Word of God says. Now this demands time in worship. It demands time in devotion. It demands time in praise. And it demands time in fellowship with God. And I realize and I know this is a busy time, isn't it? You know, we can't hardly, today, you can't hardly do what you ought to for thinking about something else that you've got to do or some other place that you've got to go. Here's where that I shortchange myself many times is just getting along with the Lord. I shortchange myself. You know, you can be so busy working for the Lord that you don't take time to get alone with Him. I mean, you can come to church. You can sing. I mean, you can teach. I mean, you can visit. I mean, you can witness. But brother or sister, you need some time alone with the Lord. Just you and the Lord. You need some time alone with Him. And what has to happen is I realize and I know that there is, it demands time. Some time with the Lord. I thought about years ago, I met a man up at Parish Cross in Indiana. His name was John Hedges. He was saved. He and his wife were saved at one of Billy Graham's crusades. He was a good friend of George Beverly Shea. John Hedges was. I was in his home. And every time that George Beverly Shea would come out with a new song, he'd call Brother Hedges and said, I want you to listen to this. And he'd sing to him, or sing to them over the telephone when he was going to come out with a new song. And you know, Brother Hedges went to one of those Billy Graham crusades and the Lord saved him. You know, I was thankful for that. I rejoiced in that. And he grew and came to so many truths and so many truths. And here's what he said to me. And this was, I'm talking about 20-some years ago. I'm talking about a long time ago.
I went up there and I preached for them about a week, and Bed, you'll remember well, and they put me in what they called the blue room. I mean, it was just like you're staying in the White House, at Abraham Lincoln's house or something. You know, it was the blue room. And I felt so out of place, being in the blue room. But anyway, I survived that. And here's what he said. He said, Brother Harvey, I found out this as a young Christian. If you don't start the day outright with the Lord, nothing will go right during the day. And I said, Brother Hedges, what do you mean by that? He said, first thing you need to do in the morning, you need to schedule yourself some time to pray, to read your Bible, and to pray. He said, you need to do that. He said, I've learned that as just a young Christian. Now, he was an older man. But he said, I've learned that. And if I don't do that, said, nothing else goes right that whole day. And I thought, what a good testimony. What a good witness. And how much time? I mean, you know, we rush in here and we rush out. I mean, we come in here by the skin of our teeth. Now, how much worshiping can you do like that? And I mean, when it's over, we already ought to be somewhere else. Now just think about it. I mean, I'm just trying to get you to think this morning. I'm trying to get you to think about what we really need as God's people, as far as revival is concerned, and where our priorities are. I'm talking about every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. And Brother Hedges had a good witness and a good testimony. And I was real thankful for the moments and the time that we was able to be to share together and share with him. Now, revival also, revival brings some things. One thing that revival brings is holiness. Holiness is a holy anger at sin. You get fed up with sin, and it's a holy anger, and it has a desire against sin, but a desire for the righteousness of God. And holiness is separation from the world. It's separation from sin. It's separation from Satan. Now, I'm just going to use as an example our young people. And I'm not just picking on you young people. This can be said about any adult here. The majority of our young people that attend our church profess to be saved and members of this church. What would happen if there would be revival come in their lives? What would happen? What do you all think would be the results of revival coming in the lives of our young people that are saved by the grace of God? There'd be some holiness. There would be some turning from sin. There would be the thoughts going from the things of the world and thinking something about the things of God. What occupies your mind most? I'm talking about saved, but you that are saved by the grace of God. What do you seek most in this life, and what do you put first in this life? We're all headed down to the same end. We're going to live the little time that God's given us here. And only what we've done for the Lord Jesus Christ is what's going to last. Only what we've really done in the service of the Lord is going to be of any value. And we're swiftly going to come down to the end. We're going to die. And there we're going to go to meet the Lord. And so I thought about holiness as the supreme desire that God alone be uplifted and magnified and glorified. It also means a separation from the world. Little do we realize how much we are lookalikes with the world around us. I realize that the Bible says in James 4:4, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I believe that we can see that there needs to be revival. Separation and suffering comes during the time of revival. The giving up of sin
It's a confession of those that are hurt by it. It's a restitution. And these ought to be joyful and a joy to the Lord to see his children willing to bring these things to pass in their life. But the suffering during the battle, I realize that what we have to come to conclusion is revival costs you something. It costs. Now, with that in mind, do you want revival? I'm always amazed, and all of us preachers, we get together and we talk preacher talk. I'm always amazed, and we say, we can't understand it, and you know, the Lord impresses our hearts on Sunday morning, and we'll preach a message that God's given us, and it just goes off the people like water off a duck's back. You say, well, how do you know that? Because you don't see them on Sunday night. You don't see them on Wednesday night. And I realize that when you're talking about revival, revival costs something, folks. It costs something. Now, I'm going to close with my verse that I read there in the 85th Psalm, because I believe that it's one that ought to be up on our hearts and up on our lips and you know, you say, well, aren't you interested in people being saved? Well, sure I'm interested in people being saved. But what comes first is the reviving of God's people. God's people getting right. He said in Psalm 85:6, will thou not revive us again? Why? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Now, how much are you rejoicing in the Lord this morning? How much are you manifesting your joy in the Lord? I'm afraid today that I picked up a man a long time ago. He'd been in prison, and I was letting him ride up the highway, and he began to ask me, did I know so-and-so? And this was around Lebanon, Ohio, and I said, oh, I went up and preached one time at Baptist Church in Lebanon, Ohio. They even called me his pastor, and that's when I came here. In 68, he said, do you know so-and-so? I said, yeah, I know of so-and-so. And he said, there's one thing about that man. Said he preaches all the time, but said if they put him in jail for being a Christian, they couldn't find enough evidence to convict him. Now, you know, I'm afraid that's the way it is with many people when they're out in the world. That they do not manifest, the Christ-likeness. Being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, I knew the man he was talking about, and what he said was so. I agreed with him from what I had heard and what I had seen. But what we need is to be able to rejoice. And to be able to rejoice in the Lord means that there's revival in your heart. And what a blessing it is, isn't it? What a joy it is to be able to see the hand of God in your life. See, revival begins in me. Revival begins in you as an individual. Now, I can pray that Brother Ronnie will be revived, and Brother Nicky, and Brother Jeff, and Brother Bobby. I can pray that they'll be revived. But where revival really needs to begin is in me. In me. And may God help us. May God help us. That the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God, would take the Word of God and turn around our lives to where that we could see what is really important in our life is the things of God. Yes, we got a lot of people we want to see saved by the grace of God. And God will save them. He will. And I believe he'll save them at his time. It'll be by the means that he has devised. But what we need this morning is, as God's people, we need to be revived.